Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, longtime entertainment reporter. And we are here. It is the end of the year, our final episode before 2026. And what are we going to do? We're going to talk about 2025.
I'm on the break between intermission at Avatar, Fire, and Ash. I have enough time to talk.
You needed intermission at those long
three
movies,
and a half
don't you?
Hours. We're not going to something like that. I don't care how good it is. If it was Titanic Part 2, I would still not go.
You like this nice and tight hour and 45, right?
That's a sign of a good movie. If you can not throw everything and the kitchen sink in, I think I like you.
There
right?
You go. So I'm assuming then you didn't go to the special viewing of Kill Bill, which is the two Kill Bill movies together.
No, it was
four and a half hours long. You didn't go to that one?
And I'm mad at him now that he's bad-mouthing Paul Dano because that's not right.
No. All right.
You get to that point at the end of the year where you're cutting bait. This is how it's going. I'm tired of that. But we did see a lot of good movies this year, don't you think?
I would agree. I saw a bunch of movies this year. Not as many as you, so I can't make a top 25 or a top 15 or
top
10.
Let's cut it to five. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, first off, I'm gonna preface this by saying I went to the movies 7 times this year.
So two of them aren't getting in.
So two of them aren't gonna get in, which is fine because those two aren't actually from 2025 because one of them was the re-release of Star Wars Episode 3 for the 20th anniversary. I went with my daughter to go see that. And then the other one, it technically wasn't a 2025 movie. It came out in 2024, but it was a complete unknown, the Dylan biopic.
Oh, well, you must have seen that twice by now.
So, no, actually, I only saw that once, but we went to go see that, you know, like on New Year's Day or something like that early in the year. But we made it to several other movies this year. You know, we saw Wicked for Good, which was okay. That was probably fourth.
All right, you know
what five would be?
What?
This is the worst movie I saw all year. Snow White, the live action.
Yeah, that could be in the worst movies of the year list.
Yep. But when you only see five new movies, then it makes your top five.
Make those folks at Wicked really feel good. Well, we're better than Snow White, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we, you know, Snow White, Wicked for Good. I would probably put that at, I'd put that at four on my list. Number three. I'm going to go with Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning. I thought it was a fine entry. You know, it wasn't the best, but it was enjoyable. Good popcorn movie.
On my top 10 list, because I will finish it out when I start putting the numbers to these ones and which I really like the best, F1 would be my kind of big blockbustery one that I think I might put on the list.
Yep.
But the only thing I don't like about the Mission Impossible one is it's another second parter. I hate those things.
I know. And F1, I bet you F1 would have made it near the top, but I didn't get to, I kept trying to get to the theater to go see it. And I just never had the time. And I'm like days away from resubscribing to Apple TV.
Yeah, you better.
And once I do that, then I'll see it. But it's one of those that just completely, I have not been able to squeeze it in.
And you'll Corbus too, because that's...
That's the reason I want to resubscribe is I got to get in to Pluribus plus the that comedy too that was on earlier in the year that I didn't that cleaned up at the Emmys, but I didn't.
The studio.
The studio, yeah. I didn't get a chance to see that yet either. So
yeah,
so I have a lot to watch, but
yeah,
you know, got to get to it. Coming in number two, I'm gonna go with Springsteen, "Deliver Me from Nowhere." I think that was a solid. Solid
boy,
movie.
You are loyal, aren't you?
I am. Again, I only saw seven films total, so the bar is set at a certain level here. So it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
In that music realm, I would have had Song Sung Blue. Because when you see that, please go, because I think it's one you'll love. And it's a way of getting all of that music in without having to do the life story of whomever, you know?
Right.
Because I always think they cheese on that, and they don't necessarily tell us, well, there was a time there where he was arrested, and you know, they either whitewash it or they make it look worse than it actually was.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But Springsteen, it was a good film.
It was a good film.
Yeah, I don't know that it's gonna get anywhere in the Oscars because they aren't mentioning it at all when people start looking at the awards things. Okay.
No.
And then what's number one?
Number one, I got to go with a good old popcorn film here, Predator Badlands, man. That thing.
Oh,
that was good. It was such a good movie. It may be next to the original, which is just a classic, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's a good entry into this franchise. Like that franchise needed to be refreshed. If you're going to keep doing it, it needed a whole like solid reboot. And this one, it's just a fun movie. I loved it. Go see it.
It's not unlike Star Wars, which needs somebody else's vision to kind of make it get going. Right?
Right. Exactly.
Or Alien, which we saw that this year, where it got another breath of air when Noah Hawley did it for FX. So, okay, I like those. My number five, Sinners. Did you see Sinners? Sinners was this kind of look at the birth of the blues, but it was kind of a horror story too. So there's a lot going on there. And the thing that makes it work is the last scene. And I don't want to spill it for you, but the last scene really pulls it all together. Ryan Coogler did a great job with that. I think it's going to be a strong contender for the Oscars this year. And I think Michael B. Jordan could be nominated for playing two parts. So, there's my number five. Number four, Sentimental Value. And we had him on, the director, Joachim Trier.
Right.
And it's so layered. There's so much there about a dad who's wanting to make a movie that's based on his life and have it star his daughter, who he's been estranged from for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And Stellan Skarsgård plays the director, and this could be the year that he gets an Oscar. And he's one of those ones that should, because he created a dynasty. All those Skarsgård kids, if it isn't, you know, It or the son that was in Big Little Lies. What was the name of that thing? That series. He won an Emmy for it. But Alex, was it Alex? Is that his name? Skarsgård? Alexander.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah. But so I think it's time, and the dad does a great job. I think he's wonderful. Then my number three is Marty Supreme.
Okay.
And this, again, is another one of those things where you go, wow, I never expected this to be that movie. It is based on a true story. It's about a man who wanted to become the world's best ping pong player. And he's just driven, but his whole life is filled with stuff that looks like it's The Godfather. Chalamet plays the part. And today I actually got to talk to the director of the film, and he said that Timothy is very, very devoted to his roles. He says, you know, you could say he's a method actor, but he doesn't do it like some of these ones where only address me as the name of the character or any of that. He said you can just tell that he's in the zone when he's filming the film. And he does his homework. And so I admired. I would love to see him win Best Actor this year. I think he's aces. And it's time. They need to honor those younger ones sooner than they actually do. You know, they'll wait until they're 40, 50, maybe 60, and then they'll toss them an award. And I don't like that. But it is great. It's funny. It's scary. It's very dramatic at times. There's a lot going on. And you will just love his performance. So don't miss Marty Supreme in at number three. Number two, One Battle After Another. This will probably be the best picture winner in the Oscars because it's Leonardo DiCaprio, it's Benicio del Toro, it's Sean Penn. I mean, it's heavy hitters. But it's one of those films that you can't guess where it's going at all. At all. You have a guy who's a revolutionary who's hiding out. People are coming after him. He's trying to protect his daughter. And a lot happens. And Leo is good. Leo, if we don't give that Oscar to Timothy Chalamet, Leo would be the one to get it.
And that's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, correct?
Yes, and he will probably get Best Director because he's been kind of avoided so many times that it's about time he gets something.
Yeah, has he won an Oscar at all?
Never.
Nothing, not like screenplay or anything, right?
No, I don't even know if he's held one. That's how bad it is. But he's been nominated a lot of times, but never won. Huh. And then coming in at number one, and I still, this movie still has an effect on me. And it's been a while since I've seen it. Hamnet. And it's Chloe Zhao. She has taken this book about the early days of Shakespeare. Now, nobody knows anything about Shakespeare, but they're just kind of guessing at what his early life was like and how he met and married his wife, how they had three children, how tragedy struck, and how he used that tragedy to propel a career that clearly he's the most successful playwright in the history of plays.
Right.
And
playwright.
Yeah, play, right. Very good. You're so smart. That's why I like you. Jesse Buckley plays the wife, and she is unbelievable. Jesse Buckley, you may not remember from too much, but she was in one of those, you know how they used to have those TV shows where the people are auditioning against each other? And like, I think she was in The Sound of Music one, if I'm not mistaken, but or it wasn't Grease, but it was like one of those things. And she got this great career out of this. Marvelous actress. And she plays the wife who people think is a witch, but she's not a witch. She's just, you know, determined. She's a little ahead of her time, I guess. And Paul Mescal, who you've seen in a number of things,
of course,
has been nominated for a Best Actor Oscar, will probably be nominated for Best Supporting Actor as Shakespeare. Now, if you listen carefully, they don't necessarily say, well, it's Shakespeare. Well, hello, Shakespeare. How are you today? It's so nice to have Shakespeare in our midst. They don't reference him. They call him Will, but it's you that kind of projects onto him that he is William Shakespeare. So that, but it's a great movie, and the ending is so touching. I still cry when I think about it.
Wow, that's a movie that wasn't even on my radar. So I'm gonna
be probably because it isn't. I think it hit theaters in very small doses in a lot of art houses around the country. But it'll go wide in January, so everybody will get to see it, and it's a winner. But Hamnet is my favorite. Yours is?
Mine is Predator Badlands.
So you see how close we are?
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you do a list for television by any chance?
I did, you know, it, because with the way my schedule is, and you know, we're all busy. You know, I got my day job. I've got my kids. I volunteer for basketball and baseball and softball and all this. And then I umpire. I've got like a side hustle. Do you know how many games I umpired this year? In 2020?
How many? Was it good?
It was good. I worked more than 100 games. So, you know, it's like I don't have a whole lot of time to do things on the side. That's the beauty of TV and streaming is you could just do things in small doses as you have time, right?
Right.
Well, it turns out I apparently had a lot more time than I thought because I saw a lot of shows. I streamed 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I streamed at least 15 or 16 different shows this year and probably more when you factor in some of the ones that just, you know, didn't really leave a lasting impression on me. But yeah, I didn't come up with a top 10 list per se, but some of my favorites, Andor, right? Season 2 of Andor.
That's on my list.
That is such a, it again, that Rogue One Andor storyline is the best thing to come out of Star Wars since Disney bought it. And season 2, the only thing that I didn't like about season 2 is the fact that they condensed basically 4 seasons into a single season. Because the idea originally was they were going to do 5 seasons of Andor, but because of money, budgets, whatever, they cut, you know, they did 1 season that took place in 1 year, and then season 2 was basically 4 years condensed into 1. So you know, we had that. The Pit. Again, you know, that's another show. I am so excited for season 2 to come out. Noah Wiley did a tremendous job in that. It was such a good show. And it just continues that legacy of HBO being pretty much the go-to for dramas, right? I mean, it's out there.
I have already seen the start of season 2. I think I've seen 5 episodes. It's set on the 4th of July.
Okay.
So you can imagine what an emergency room was like on the 4th of July. Don't you say right away, oh, there's got to be a fireworks accident.
Somebody's losing digits in this episode, right? is not going to have as many fingers.
It ain't just bottle rockets that are coming through on this one.
No. Season 1 got a little crazy with the shooting and all that. But no, that was a good show. Severance season 2, another tremendous season. Really looking forward to that one continuing. A little bit of a disappointment compared to the others, but still I really enjoyed it. Was The White Lotus. That was another.
I did too, and I didn't put it on my top 10 list.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I don't know if I actually sat down and ranked it, I don't know if it would have cracked mine too, because there's some other good things out there. But you know, again, that was one that is just a go-to show for my wife and I. We love it. And, you know, not as good as the previous seasons, but I'm still looking forward to that coming back. Adolescence. My wife did not like that show at all.
Really?
Yeah. She was bored by it. And I think the language, I like the language barrier, but you do have to really, you know, the English language, the dialect is different, obviously, coming out of England. And I think she struggled to keep up with it and some of the slang and things like that. I loved it. I the fact that they were able to do each episode in a single
shot. That? Did she realize that they had to memorize all that stuff and they're just keeps running?
Yeah. And there was a really good article and I can't remember who wrote it. If it was Rolling Stone. But they went in behind the scenes and how they pulled it off. And like, you know, one episode was maybe filmed on, it was like the 15th take of day 3 or something like that. You know, so it wasn't, you know, one shot and they got it. They might have, you know, they did it in multiple takes, but, you know, it took them like several attempts to finally land the full cut, which is amazing that they were able to do that. So
wouldn't you just freak, though, if, like, you're almost at the end and then you forgot what you're supposed to say?
I know. And then you got to do it again?
Right. That was, you know, that Adolescence was my number one show. I loved it. I'm sorry that your wife didn't. Because I marveled at the young actor, Owen Cooper, who played the kid who's in trouble. It's about a family and how do they cope with this attention, claim that their son has killed somebody else. And, you know, your heart just breaks for them. You think, oh, no, what could they have done so this never happened? It's an interesting, it's an interesting year. Okay, what else did you have? Anything more?
Yeah, no, I had a few, you know, like The Last of Us, it wasn't as good as season one, but it was still an enjoyable show. It frustrated me at times. I thought it could have been better, but it was still well done. And then another one, and I feel like the show is starting to kind of, it needs to wrap, and that's The Bear. You know, it was still good, but it just feels like it's starting to get tired.
I think they're all getting too many jobs, like Christine, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. But, you know, I still like it. I still came back to it. You know, if I was making a straight top 10 list again, would it make it in there? I don't know, but it was good. But, you know, some of the other shows I saw this year too, like Alien Earth, I thought that was a really well done program. It kind of like Predator Badlands pumped fresh life into that half of the franchise. I think Alien Earth really brought that show, that franchise back as well, because it's been hit and miss with the sequels and the prequels. So that one I really liked. You know, if you were a fan of Mare of Easttown on HBO a number of years ago, I don't know if it's a true spinoff or what you know, it like lives within that universe as Task. Did you see that one at all on HBO with Mark Ruffalo? That one was good. I really, really like that. And then I just finished, in the last week, Black Rabbit, with Jason Bateman, Jude Law.
Oh, yes.
That one, and it had, it really had Ozark vibes to it. And what was funny, not only because Jason Bateman was in it, but a couple of the episodes were directed by Laura Linney. And I don't think she was in the show in any way, but obviously playing Jason Bateman's on-screen wife in Ozark, it kind of had that grittiness, you know, that sense to it. So, yeah, no, that was a good one. I saw some other decent shows across the year. Paradise with Sterling K. Brown was a decent little sci-fi show. I know season two's coming up. That's you know, one of those post-apocalyptic type of things, living underneath a mountain after the world kind of ends. That was a fun one. You know, great, no, but I thought that was a good kind of like popcorn type of TV show. Just finished up The Lowdown not too long ago with Ethan Hawke and Jeannie Triplehorn. That was kind of an interesting one, a little bit, you know, another one of those quirky, offbeat FX kind of shows. Was it the best? No, but it kept my attention. It was kind of fun to watch at times. So yeah, there was a lot out there. You know, yeah, good, some good stuff. I thought it was a good TV year overall.
Ethan Hawke had a good movie, Blue Moon. And that's one you'll find at some point when they start streaming these things. And it could be a contender for him to be best actor. He won't win, but I think he's one of those kind of evergreens that you go to and you think, you know, we had a lot of like Adolescence. I had The Pit on mine. I had The Bear on mine. I had Andor on mine, Alien Earth. Then I had SNL 50, the anniversary special. Because I thought that was, it made me feel like I was going home. It was like a class reunion, and I enjoyed that. Pluribus, the new series from Vince Gilligan. And I think because it has Rhea Seehorn in it, she was kind of the spark in the last year of Better Call Saul, that I think it'll have teeth. The only thing I don't like is these kind of futuristic worlds where Are aliens taking over? I don't want to know. We have enough alien people that are taking over as it is, you know, in just regular life, that I don't want to see another bunch come after. Hacks, I put back on there because I think it's the strongest comedy we still have on television. It's very well done. And I think when they hit their fifth year, I think they're at four now, they're going to do five, they wrap it up in a good way that will feel like it's, there's a completion to the whole thing. Then I had Pee-wee as himself, the documentary about Pee-wee Herman.
So good.
I
so
love
good.
That. Yes. And, you know, having interviewed him as Pee-wee, I always wondered what it was like without that facade.
Yeah.
And this tells you, this is good. And then my last one was American Revolution, the miniseries from Ken Burns.
Yeah.
And I think he's a national treasure that should be embraced and encouraged to teach others how to do these kinds of historic things. Because I wouldn't, would you care about the rise of revolution? No. I had that, I think, in third grade. I'm good. But he brings out new sides of where he makes you want to learn history. And that's that's one of the special kind of qualities he brings to television. And I don't want to lose that. I hope we don't lose that.
Yeah, that one, I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but it's I DVR'd it, and I got to go back and watch the episode soon. Hopefully in the coming week or so, I'll have a little bit of time. You know, one show that didn't quite make my list, though, and it probably will, but it's incomplete, is Stranger Things, the final season.
You've got that big holiday conclusion.
Oh, yeah. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Yep.
Just say to the kids, I have a little present for you.
Yep.
We're all going to watch Stranger Things together. That's your gift.
That is our gift together. Yes.
Right? Good pizza, though. I think that'd be better.
Yeah, yeah. You know, along with the Pee Wee Herman, did you see the Charlie Sheen documentary? That was
I have not seen it yet, no.
Yeah, go ahead and check that one out, too. It's not as good as Pee Wee, but it is a fascinating look at kind of like that bad boy of the 90s, and really interesting. It, you know, gets into the family history and all that. Definitely worth your time. I would go check that one out.
Well, I interviewed him so many times during his heyday. You know, he was in all those kind of teen movies, and then on up to Platoon, and then on to television, Two and a Half Men, and those things. Yeah. Even that bad series that they shot 4 episodes like in a week or something. So I had a good overview of what Charlie was like. And Charlie, to be honest, was never mean. He was always nice. And so he might have had a lot of demons, but at least they didn't come out all the time on people who were just trying to do a job.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you kind of got that impression from the documentary that he's a decent dude. Like, everybody liked him. Like, but it was, and I think John Cryer and it kind of got to this where when he wasn't on drugs or alcohol, he was the greatest guy in the world. But the problem was he had an addiction problem.
Right.
And when that came up, it just overtook him. And you know, you got a different version of Charlie that quite frankly, nobody liked.
Yeah. Well, and look at how those kinds of things can really change a person's perception.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's like us, you know?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Exactly.
They don't know how really mean we are, right?
Yeah. Oh, we are nasty. We are ruthless.
Ruthless. That's our motto.
I thought it was overall a good year, especially on the streaming side, because again, I do not have the time or the flexibility like you do to get to as many films as you do. But I thought it was a good overall entertainment year, and I think there's a lot to look forward to next year. A lot of good shows coming back for season 2, season 3, whatever. And and movies too. And we're gonna try to hit Avatar during the holiday break, and you know, just a lot of good stuff going on.
I had a friend who called and said, are we going to Avatar? And I said, oh, 3.5 hours, can I do it? I'm not supposed to sit that long, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's where you need your catheter, right? You gotta get cathed up or a diaper and
we're all ready for the movies, right?
All ready to go. You can get the extra large beverage then
I can just go for it.
Right, exactly.
And I'll get that big bucket like you have of the popcorn.
That's which reminds me, I'm about due to have to invest in the 2026 popcorn bucket, so better get back to the theater quickly then.
Yeah, you better. You better. Have a great holiday season, and
you too.
If you talk to me before 2026, make it a good one.
You too, and thank you all listeners out there. We appreciate you tuning in each week. And we'll be back again with another episode soon of Streamed and Screened.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.